Last week in a Manhattan court, Michael Avenatti was convicted of wire fraud and aggravated identity theft for stealing from his former client, Stormy Daniels. Prosecutors allege that Avenatti defrauded Daniels out of nearly $300,000 from her book advance. Avenatti will be sentenced in May and faces the possibility of up to 22 years in prison. The trial was one of the more bizarre legal spectacles in recent memory. Avenatti fired his attorneys in the middle of the trial and decided to represent himself. That led to wild scenes in which he cross-examined Daniels, his former client, for more than 5 hours over the course of 2 days. He asked about everything from her talking to the dead to whether she wanted him to get raped in prison to a paranormal doll. And after a 2-day deliberation, which initially included a holdout, Avenatti was found guilty. Joining us now to offer a first-hand account of it all is Stormy Daniels. Stormy, thanks so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. That had to be surreal, facing all sorts of questions from your former friend and attorney, Michael Avenatti, many of which really had nothing to do with the case.
No, it was pretty bizarre. I kind of knew what was coming, though, just based on some of the filings he'd made. And it was just, I think it was just an attempt to distract and confuse the jury. And I'm glad it didn't work.
I want to read from some of the things that he asked you. He asked you, how do you speak with how do you speak with the dead? You responded, I don't know. It just happens sometimes. Then he said, you mentioned that you read tarot cards for entertainment. Do you remember that yesterday? Yes. In fact, you charge people for reading tarot cards, right? Yes, technically oracle cards, but yes, it does seem like you were almost prepared for these kinds of attacks.
I mean, I do know the man. I've seen him in action, and I know how low he's willing to sink to win. Basically, he'll do whatever it takes, and he'll deflect and change the subject. But it was really crazy because I had to keep reminding myself, I'm not the one on trial here. I am the victim and a witness, but I was being treated like I was being prosecuted. I just can't imagine how that would be if it was a violent crime or if I wasn't as used to standing up for myself as I am. You know, I live here in New Orleans. Everybody reads tarot. It's not that weird. And he was literally reading off of the website for the paranormal show, the description of the show. I was just ready for him to like bust out one of my adult DVD box covers and start reading off the back of it. So it says here, you're a nurse. Well, I was that day, you know, it's just anything to just create drama and confusion.
And he did not pull out any of your DVDs though, if I'm correct.
Thankfully, no. Although, you know, I would have taken the free press for that, too, I guess.
All right. This is my favorite line, by the way. When he said to you, didn't you tell the New York Times that watching me work was like watching the Sistine Chapel painted? And your response was, that's what you told me to say. That was kind of amazing. You know, is there a particular moment in your dealings with Avenatti where you look back and you say to yourself, you know, maybe I should have seen it coming?
So many, actually. And I think the first time, and this is such a bizarre story, it was very, very early in to him working for me. And I was leaving a strip club appearance, and I was set to fly from St. Louis back to Los Angeles. And for some reason, he insisted that I cancel my commercial flight and he was going to fly me on his private jet. Okay, cool. Like, that sounds fun. So me and my two bodyguards, Brandon and Travis, get to the private airport and something really strange is going down. And suddenly they're not allowed on the private jet because it's overweight. But literally, it was just me and one other dude on the plane. So my question is, was that even his jet? It was really, really weird. And I kept telling the people who work for me, like, something is up, something is up. And they were telling me I was paranoid, that I should be grateful someone would take my case for only $100. But the real turning point is how mad he got when I flat out refused to endorse him for president. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry.
Well, tell us about that. I mean, what happened? What did he say to you? And what did you say back to him?
I just remember him saying, like, hey, so a lot of people want me to run for president. And I was like, I think you want to run for president. And he's like, well, you're going to endorse me, right? And I was like, well, I have to hear your platform and I have to weigh the options. I was trying to like not get into a real nasty argument with him, but he was so offended. And it ended up being just not a screaming match, but it turned pretty sour and I ended up hanging up on him. But he just couldn't understand why he backed me on all of my stuff and I wouldn't just blindly, you know, endorse him for president. It was really strange to me. And he would just throw these weird temper tantrums. And then another time he was way too excited about being my date to the AVN Awards, which is the adult awards. And we got there and he had like booked the rooms and stuff to protect my identity and for himself and whatever. And we got there and his card kept getting declined. And I was like, this is not okay. This is very strange. But yeah, and he would just call all the time. He was kind of a control freak, but I knew in my gut, and I will tell you the one thing, well, I've learned a lot of things from this, but one of the takeaways from this whole experience for me is next time I have that kind of a feeling, intuition, that I'm going to go with it because I should have cut him off way, way sooner. But I will tell you, like, that feeling of just being uneasy and not trusting him was with me from the start because I made it a point to never, ever, ever be alone with him. I wasn't alone with Michael Avenatti, not for 30 seconds, ever.
I was going to ask you that. Was he ever sort of creepy with you and on a personal level?
No, I will tell you, he was absolutely never out of line. He never tried to touch me. He was never inappropriate. We were friends, so there was some joking, but not flirting. Like I will say that. Like he never crossed the line with me in that way, whatsoever. But I will tell you, this is actually a really funny story. I don't know if anybody knows this, but for someone who was so like offended and tried to distance himself from that creepy porn lawyer tagline, which I always wonder, is he creepy or is the porn creepy? It was never clear to me. But for somebody who really wanted to get away from that, he had me and my partner on my television show, Justin, served at the Expos Awards show. Like for somebody who doesn't want to be associated with porn, this poor guy had to come and serve us. Me and my roommate and my friend Justin got served at an adult convention a couple weeks ago. And why serve me for my own thing? I don't know. It was all like probably to try to create some sort of chaos, but it didn't work.
He's going to be sentenced in May. What do you want to see happen?
Well, I plan to be at the sentencing. I have a lot to say, and they told me I could say whatever I want, which I don't know if they really understood what they were saying when they told me that I could say whatever I want because I have a lot to say. I might even bring my own like soapbox and actually stand on it. But I hope that actually, you know what I want more than anything, and I'm probably not going to get it, is I want him to admit that he took the money and that he lied and he gaslit me and played games and then tried to shame me by like asking for these mental health records that don't exist, by trying to paint me in a bad light. And I would really like him to take ownership of that and apologize, but that's probably never going to happen, just like I'll never see my money because he doesn't have it. So I went through all of this. You know, the worst part about this was writing this book where I exposed myself and went through so much trauma or reliving this trauma to write this book, and then he stole my money for it, and I'm never going to get it.
Are you going to ask, though, for the maximum sentence?
I'm going to leave that to the judge, but it all depends on if he shows any remorse or not. You know, and at first I was really fired up about the win, and I was really angry about the way I was treated on the stand and that he had stole from me. And I found out some of the things he had said about me, and I was like, yeah, throw the book at him. But part of me is still like, God, he was my friend, and I feel a little bad for wanting him to not see his children and stuff like that. But I guess it just depends on how he behaves in the next couple of months.
All right, we shall see. Let me just shift gears real quick. Just ask you a question about Donald Trump. You'd said last summer that your attorney was in contact with New York prosecutors, that you were willing to be forthcoming and participate in any case against him. Have you spoken to anyone recently about that?
No, I have not. There's been no movement on that. But I'm here and willing to cooperate and do whatever it takes.
You know, I wonder, 4 years later, are you glad or are you sorry you went down this road about your relationship with Donald Trump?
The answer to that question probably changes 15 times a day. But at the end of the day, I'm glad that I did, because hopefully it brought some sort of awareness and put a stop to anybody who may have come after me, who may have been in that situation. Maybe it inspires other women that if they are ever put in a position and too afraid to say no, they'll think back on my story and hopefully do it differently, I guess.
Is it a ridiculous question to ask you who you're angrier at today, Michael Avenatti or Donald Trump?
No, not at all. I'm far angrier at Michael Avenatti. I only met Trump a handful of times, not even. I didn't consider him to be a friend. I didn't have private conversations. I didn't trust him. And he certainly didn't steal from me. Michael Avenatti betrayed my trust in every way possible. He lied to my face. He lied about me. He put me on a stand for 5.5 hours and called me names. This is a man that I took him as my date. Ew. Like, no, way, way, way more angry at Michael Avenatti, because that's a personal betrayal. It's way different.
Was it worse in court than you'd expected it was going to be with him?
No, it actually wasn't worse. I mean, I'm not to sound conceited, but I actually am a little impressed with how well I handled him. He doesn't scare me. I've seen Donald Trump naked. Nothing Michael Avenatti can say will scare me.
I think that maybe we'll just end it on that note. Stormy Daniels, thank you so much for coming on the show. We will be following your testimony on that soapbox at the sentencing. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.